Kumlein Lablak Gemara, we're up to today, Dav Samach Hei Amid Aleph. So we're still talking about what a woman may wear on Shabbos outside in the street. And it says in the Mishnah here, they have a moich sheba ozna. She's allowed to walk around with a cotton ball inside her ear to collect all the pus. Tani Rami Bar Cheskel, v'hu shekosh sheba ozna, provided that it's actually tied to her ear, so it doesn't fall out and she won't take it out. Says the Gemara, Tani Rami Bar Cheskel, v'hu shekosh sheba sandla, the same thing, by moich sheba sandla, put something inside her shoe, like a soul, inner soul, it has to be tied down. So it shouldn't be taken out. And the moich that's made for a nida to prevent her soiling her body, not her clothes. Rashi says her clothes, but others try to say her body. So that it should be actually tied down. You don't need to. When it comes to this tampon, you don't need it at all, even if it's not tied. Why? Even the moich, because it's so despicable. There's no way that she's going to pull it out to show anybody. So therefore, we don't have to worry. What happened? She made herself a handle. Right now, Rav Yirmiya thought the problem is that she's going to get her hands dirty by pulling it out. And therefore, she won't. So what about if there's a handle, so the handle part doesn't get dirty, doesn't get soiled? Are we worried that she might pull it out? It's not just the handle. It's not just her hand. It's the whole thing itself is not something very complimentary. And therefore, she won't pull it out to show off. You're still allowed to walk around. You're still allowed to, because we're not worried that you are going to pull it out. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan nafik behu lebei medrasha. Rabbi Yechanan used to walk out with a cotton ball inside his ear, because he was old, and Rashi says he had lots of wax in his ear, so he had it constantly in his ear. So he went outside with it, and the way Rashi learns is he went outside into the Shusarabim, even though we learned before it has to be tied, and his wasn't. The Chalukin Olav Chavedev, and his friends disagreed with him. Rabbi Yanai used to walk around with this cotton ball inside a carmelis. The chalukin all of cold doid. His entire generation argued with him. We'll get back to that in a second. He went around without making sure that it's tied down so it doesn't come out. V'tani Rabbi Cheskel v'husha koshel abazna. We learned before it has to be tied down. Like Arab Yechlin, like Kasha, it's not a problem. Hod the medic, hod the loy medic. When does Rabbi Chas has to be tied down if it's not tight? But Rabbi Yechlin's case, it was tight in his ear. And therefore, he was allowed to. One of the Rishonim asks, interesting, why is it when Rabbi Yechlin did his thing, only his friends attacked him? And when Rabbi Yana did practice, looks like the same thing, his whole generation attacked him. And he wanted to know why. So I just thought that maybe Rabbi Yechanan happened first, and his friends criticized him for what he did. And Rabbi Yana, after hearing that the Rabbanim then criticized, he decided anyway to do it. And that's when the whole generation said, that's not good enough. If the Rabbanim came out and said, you shouldn't do it, and you're doing it, it's like you're spiting the Rabbanim. And that the entire generation, whether they knew the halacha, they didn't, felt it was wrong because you went against the Rabbanim, not because what you did itself was wrong. It's once the Rabbanim, so it's a different protest altogether. However, the Rishonim sort of answer, that's my own little book's water. The Rishonim answer that Rabbi Yechanan actually went into the Shusarabim and it was tight. So therefore, Abidin may be allowed to, but the Rabbanim thought maybe you shouldn't have done it because not everyone understands what you did. What the Yechanan did was he went to a Carmelis and it wasn't tight. And here everybody said, wait, if we make a rule in the Shusarabim, Carmelis has the same dinim. So if you're not allowed to walk in the Shusarabim if it's not tight, unless it's tight, like Rambam Cheskel, so too when it comes to a carmelis. That's why he's a different approach. Anyway, the pilpul is peppercorns with gilgul melech and a salt, to take away the odor. Pilpul reich hapeh for the odor of the mouth, and gilgul melech l'doshoni for the gums. It's like therapeutic for the gums. Chodavish and the to pee, anything he places in the mouth, zangbila, ginger, inami, darzuna, or cinnamon, anything that you put in the mouth to take away the bad odor and so on, you're allowed to, because that's normal carry. That's normal way of walking in the street. Shen tosevis, a false tooth. Shen shazov. I told you last time, machlek is whether it's the same case or two separate cases. But golden, a golden tooth, and a golden tooth is it stands out. And because it stands out, you might be embarrassed, and therefore you'll take it out, or you'll take it to show off. Another hand, silver tooth sort of blends into your mouth more. Rebbe Matzah Chomer says, Rebbe says you're allowed to walk around, and the Chomer says you're not allowed to walk around, you might show off. Amr of the Elisha, no Elisha Zov, only gold, so Ketzer, Hakum Mutter, but silver, everyone holds that Mutter. Why? And Rashi says, because it looks like all other teeth. I'm not exactly sure, I guess gold stands out more, but silver doesn't really look like the other teeth. But nevertheless, it doesn't stand out as much as gold does. On the other hand, if you learn the other pshat, because gold is much more chashuv, you might take it out and show off. But silver is not that chashuv, and therefore you're not going to take it out, and you're going to show off. Says Gemara, tell me what we learned. B'shal kesed, v'hakal mutter, shazov, silver, everyone holds mutter. It's gold, b'r'm matach ha'maisim. Omer Rabbi, says Rabbi. Rabbi, Rabbi Lezer, Hashem, Lezer, Kulis, they all hold the chomidi, the begamjibe, that anything which is sort of, which is embarrassing, asil asuye, you'll never take it out to show off to other people. Rabbi Hodam, Rabbi just said, with the teeth, he says you're not going to take it, even your gold tooth out, because you're going to show a hole in your mouth, so you're not going to, you know, remove it. Rabbi Lezer, Tanya, Rabbi Lezer, pointed because Rabbi Lezer, the solution should apply to it. Rabbi Lezer says you're allowed to walk around with a different thing, you know, the material that has is absorbed with a perfume or with a little candle necklace with a little jug of perfume as well. And he says you're allowed to go around with it. And he said, because who's the one who walks around with it generally? Someone who has a bad odor, that's why you have so much perfume, and therefore they're not going to remove it because it's embarrassing. Because then you know, you're not going to be able to mitigate the odor that's generated by your body. And Hashem Elazar, Tanulin Klalam Hashem Elazar, Koshul Amatim Nasipcha. He gave a rule that any hat which she has under her, you know, her head cover, then Yitzba, you're allowed to walk out with it because you're not going to pull it out because it's embarrassing. You have to remove your hair and expose you, you know, move your hat and you'll expose your hair. But the Ma'ilam Nasipcha, any Yitzba, anything above the hat, don't walk out because you might take it and show off. The Mishnah continues. Yoytze, you're allowed to walk out Besela with a coin, Sha'al Hatzinis. That's on top of the Tzinis. We'll see later, it's talking about a wound on the bottom of your foot, and they would put like a metal coin to make it straight. Habonis Ktanis, young girls, Yoytzez Bechutin, allowed to walk around with the strings. Vafil Bekisman, Shibba's name. And even a little piece of wood, they pierced their ears when they were young, but they didn't have yet earrings, but they would put something there to fill the hole, otherwise the hole would grow right back. So they put either a chut or a kesim in their ears. And we are not worried. Before Rashi, a few blocks ago, Rashi gave another pshat that's a thing in their hair, and an older woman, you're not allowed to have it because when she goes to the mikveh, she has to loosen it, then she might not, you know, carry it in the street. But ketanos don't go to the mikveh, and therefore, we're not, you know, they're allowed to. But here it seems clear we're talking about the ears, and Gemara says later, and also, the Rishonim say, ketanos also have to go to mikveh when they touch, if they became a nidah and they touch, you know, taras. Why can't ketanos have to go to mikveh? Why wouldn't we worry then? Anyhow, now this is very interesting. Arvias. That Arvias are Arab women, the people who live in the Arab countries where they wear the hijab. Yoytzeis Ru'ulas, on Shabbos they're allowed to walk around with a full gear covering the entire face, and the only part that's revealed is the eyes. And the Advaz writes in a tshuva, a very interesting tshuva, because he was in Egypt. And he says that if you live in a country like in the Middle East, where that's how they walk around, then for a Yid, that's tznius. And to wear anything less than that is hepech tznius. So, you know, you have to fit into the mode of the land, but it's considered sneeze in that land. Yet, there are absolute laws of sneeze as well. If the mode of the land is to walk around hepechat sneeze, doesn't give you license to walk around that way because there are strict rules regarding sneeze as a minimum. But if anything above that, if that's the meaning of the land to walk around in a certain way, then as a yid, we cannot be seen to be less sneeze than the people around us. Interesting. When you see that in Meisha Adim, then there's a problem. But if in the Middle East countries, with that is the mode of dress, in advance of Azid, you have to wear the same thing. Okay. Umadiyas, and those women who come from Madai, is Purupa, they wear this, they wrap around this shawl that has a hook on one end, and then they wrap it all around, and it goes to the other end. And they put there usually a stone or a nut, and they put the belt, the strap from the right side, and the other side goes around the nut or the stone. And this way, that shawl or that talus, you know, stays put. So there's a lot of wear that. The whole Adam. Now the truth of the matter is, any person can wear these things. I'm just Elishivacham Bahiba. Why are we mentioning an Arab, you know, living in an Arab country? If a woman wants to wear the hijab, or you want to wear that kind of shawl in other places, you're allowed to. We're just saying where it's common to wear these things. Al Evan, Al Ha'egoiz, Valamabeyam. you're allowed to wear these things, these hooks, I just said, a belt that goes around a nut or a stone. It says, but eventually, don't do lechatchil on Shabbos. It's hard to understand. First you said you're allowed to, then you say don't do lechatchil. We'll talk about it. Says in one of my tzinis. What's this tzinis you started off that you said that you're allowed to walk around with a coin of tzinis? Bas ara. What happened was you have a wound on your foot, on the bottom of your foot. So you tie there a coin, which is very straight and solid, to help your foot heal. So Maishna Sala, why dafka coin? Ile mekol mida da akusha, anything which is tough, and therefore it protects that wound from thorns or anything else. Then leva bechaspa, use a piece of clay, a clay shard, will achieve the same thing. Ella Mishum Shuchser also has some moisture that comes out of the metal of the coin. And that's also therapeutic for this wound to help it heal, and therefore we cannot use clay shard. No levletasa, just take a metal sheet. Why a coin? Ella Mishum Tsurasa, is it because it has a certain form on it, and that form somehow or another helps out as well? Then levletpulsa, make it out of wood, and then make that kind of image on it. You know, it is an image that's protruding from it, and somehow or another the contrast helps out. So make a wooden coin. You need all three, and if only a coin has all of three milas. Girls can go out with these little strings in the air. The father of Shmuel, he would not allow his daughters, the sisters of Shmuel, the Novki Bechutin. A few things he didn't let them do. First, he didn't let his daughters walk around on Shabbos with the strings going through the air. We'll soon see why. He did not let the two daughters sleep in the share a bed together. We'll soon see why. Very interesting. And he would build for them in the days of Nissan. He would build for them a mikveh. In other words, he would dig a hole or something right next to the river and let water go into there. And water should be still or next to the river. And that's where they went to the mikveh. He didn't let them go into the river in the days of Nissan. We'll soon see why. And he will put mats on the floor in the days of Tishrei. And the reason for that is, interesting, Machlekes Rashi says, because the sand on the floor is all muddy, and if the sand will come into your feet, it will be a chatzitza. If you put a mat there, they won't stand on the sand, they'll stand on the mefetz. All the Rishonim have a problem with Rashi for a few reasons. First of all, they say, we learned other places, that if your foot comes in first, so the water is trapped underneath your foot, so it's not really a problem. So they say, no, but that's talking about a bedpost. You're allowed to put a bedpost into the river, even though it sinks into the mud, because the water got in there first before the bedpost, so therefore it's covered. But here, we're worried about the cement that goes between the fingers, and then by the time you put your head in, it's full of this junk of this, the dirt and the sand that's stuck between your toes, and that's a chatzitza. But others ask that as well, a bunch of other questions. Like the Rebbein Tam says, it's you're not makbid on it. If you're not makbid, it doesn't matter. When you go into the beach, you expect to get sand on the bottom of your feet. It don't matter, who cares? So Rebbein Tam learns, actually what he did was he built a mechitza. These mefetz and these mats were for a mechitza. Because when you go to mikveh in the beach or in the river or something, you're embarrassed. Somebody might pop out somewhere, so you go really quickly. You don't make sure that all your hair is in the water and so on. So they built themselves, he gave them mats to build a little mechitza around them so they can comfortably go into the water and take their time, make sure that they immerse themselves 100% in the water. Okay, then it says here, but another more goes through. Explain each one. Yoitz is b'chuti, l'shavu l'bi yitchuti. Not allowed to go with the strings in the ear, but not time will finish the mission. Habonis yoitz is b'chuti. Says the Gemara, Bansei Davud Yishmol, his daughters, the Tzevayinim, have their chutin weren't stam chutin, they were very colored, nice colors. And therefore he was scared that they would take it off to show people, and therefore he didn't let them go. He didn't let his daughters sleeping share a bed. You know why? Because he was scared that they would have tashmish between themselves, be lesbians. Lema, let us say, and the question is there an Isser? It's an Isser for Mishkav Zachar, as we had a few times recently in the Teda, but is there an Isser of Mishkav Nekeva? So he says, Lema, if Rav Shmuel was so makbid, Avud Shmuel, Lema, let us say, Misayel Rav Huna, that Avud Shmuel holds like Rav Huna. And what does Rav Huna say? The Amar Rav Huna said, Noshim HaMisayel Zubazu, women that have Mishkav Yisha, Psulis L'Kahuna, apostle to a coin. The Gemara Yavama says, Halach is not like him, but Rav Huna holds that the apostle Kuna. Rashi says, what do you mean apostle Kuna? To Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has to marry a Psula. Now these girls are not a Bu'ula, but neither are they a Psula. And therefore a Kohen Gadol cannot marry. Taisa disagrees. Taisa says from the Gemara Yavama, it seems clearly that they have the status of a Zayna.
And because the Gemara says that, that even according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds a pony habol a panuya, is nasa zayna, that even if you know they're bachelors and singles, that she becomes a zayna, she cannot marry a kohen. The halacha is not like him, but that's what he says. That's only a hanimil beish, only if it's a man, not if it's a woman. So we're talking about that according to Tesis, that lesbianism makes her a zayna, and if she cannot marry a kohen. But the Gemara Yavama says the halacha is not like him at all. But Abu Shmuel was machmer. The third thing was, he made a mikveh b'yom nissen. Why did he make a mikveh in the days of nissen? It's a very big kitzur. When it comes to, there's two kinds of mikvehs. There's a mikveh which is called a mayan, a spring, and then you have an ocean. Now, when it comes to a mayan, a spring, the din is that, you know, when it comes to kelim, it's batay, b'mashuhu, we don't care how much water is there, as long as it covers it. And we say also by a mayan, according to most Rishonim, makes no difference if it's zeichlin or ashbayin. Zeichlin means that it's flowing, or ashbayin still. If it's a mayan, we're going to pasuk from a mayan that if even the water is flowing, it's a valid mikveh, and even if it's standing still, because some Rishonim hold only if it's flowing. But we hold it both cases is good. However, when it comes to rainwater, there the din is only ashbayin. It has to be standing still. Rainwater has to be standing still. Now, all rivers and seabeds have water coming from underneath the ground as well. But certain times of the year, a lot of rainwater floods in. So Nissan, which is right after the northern winter, we're talking about the northern hemisphere, right after the winter, a lot of water seeps into the river, and it could very well be sometimes that you have more rainwater, at least where you're standing, than there is, because in the shallow parts, you're not deep into the river, you're in the shallow parts, which is where the runoff of the water comes right there. There might be more rainwater than the river water, and if it's rainwater, it has to be standing still, and the rivers always flow. So therefore, in the month of Nisan, which he was worried that that's the time it'll be more rainwater than other water, he said that he shouldn't go into the river. I'm going to create for you a separate mikveh. But the rest of the year, I wasn't choshish. Okay, this is how Rashi learns. If you look in the Ran, there's like four different shittas here, many different ways of learning pshat. They want to know, for example, who cares if the famous question, who cares if the rainwater falls in? We have a rule, kama, kama, bottle. Every drop that comes in is bottled, so therefore, it's always will have more of the its own water than the rainwater. So the main time comes up with the chiddush, which is a big discussion in halacha. He comes with the chiddush that when do we say kama kam bottle? If you do it a drop at a time, but if it's continuously flowing in, then it's considered one big drop, and therefore it's not kama kama bottle. This is the machlekes regarding, when you have wine that's pogum, do you put the wine that's pogum first back into the bottle, or do you first pour from the bottle into the cup and then put it back? We say, in halacha, we say that you pour the cup right into the bottle because kama kama bottle. But according to Bani Tam, if you continuously flow into the bottle, then there's no kama kama bottle. And if there's roiv wine in the cup more than what's in the bottle, it might be a problem. That's why some people in Machmer, they first pour from the bottle into the cup. And because some people say that's how you mevatel the cup and then you pour back. Anyway, and so on and so forth. So the month of Nisan. Now we're going to see now three opinions here. And what's interesting is there's two of them are Shmuel. Shmuel is going to be the most lenient and the strictest. And right in the middle will be Avud, Shmuel, and Rav. So we'll explain in a minute. So this L'chayre supports Rav. But Rav says, Mitra b'marov, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael in the west, Sahad Rabba Paras. Paras is a testimony that it rained in the west, and everyone above all is very, very happy because they see this all this extra water flowing to bubble. So they know that it rained in the west. The Shreinim ask over here, but it doesn't flow that way. The river flows the other way, from east, from west to east. So if it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't necessarily see it in bubble. And then other Shreinim try to say that sometimes it works the other way, whatever. So he says here, Savan Rav holds, Shala Yirbu HaNeitfin Al HaZeichlin, that he holds that we don't want there should be more neitfin is rainwater drops than the flowing water of his natural flowing water. We're worried that when it was in time of rain, when it rains a lot, we shouldn't use the river because there might be more rainwater and it cannot be flowing, it has to be standing still. And Shmuel agrees. Now, so this first, Avud Shmuel agrees. So this first Avud Shmuel, what he did was only in the month of Nisan. That's when there's all the, besides the rain, you also have all this running water of the mountains, the snow that melts. So therefore, you have an abundant amount of water comes in, and that's the only month we worry. The other 11 months, we're not worried unless you know for a fact otherwise. Otherwise, we're not worried, you can go to the river. It's only the month of Nisan. Now, upligi de Shmuel, this Shmuel here is so lenient. The Amar, he says that even in the month of Nisan, Shmuel nahara mekipe mivrich, even in the month of Nisan, the majority of the water comes from internally from the bores and from the springs, and therefore, they don't have to worry. Upligi de Shmuel himself argues with himself, where Shmuel now will be the most machmed. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Eina mayim metarim bezoichlin." You cannot go into a river, and you know when it's flowing. Ella paras b'yayim tisha, only the month of Tisha alone. Because he says any other month, all 11 months of the year you can't go, because of Chayshish there might be more rainwater. In the month of Tishrei, after a dry summer, such a long dry spell, and all the water from the mountain ran off already, that's the only month we know for certainty that there's more internal water than there's rainwater. All other months were Chayshish, were Safik. So you have three opinions there, and the big machlek is Hashem, which one we should follow. But most of Hashem hold like Avur the Shmuel, right in the middle. Okay, Parefes Allah Evan. You're allowed to put this, buckle around the stone and the nut and everything. First, here it says only you shouldn't do the chatchil and Shabbos, but the start of the mission saying you should, that you can. If you have a nut there or a stone and you prepare it all always that you should be using it, then you're allowed to the chatchil. I mean, even before Friday, you prepared the nut there or even the stone. But the sefer is talking about a coin. A coin is totally muktzah. It's not about tiltel. And therefore, a stone is better than a coin, because a coin has a dedicated use. And therefore, a coin, even if you set it aside, you shouldn't use it. Mashen came a stone and a nut. Says the Gemara, I have a question. Boya, bye-bye, has a question. Isha, a woman, mahu shetarim, let's say she has a kid out there somewhere playing and he wants to eat a nut. Can she make a trick and use the nut as a buckle and then walk with it, put the belt around it, walk with it to the kid, and then give the kid the nut to eat? Boya, by Isha, a woman, mahu shetarim, can she make a trick, v'tifreif ala egois, and put the buckle around the nut, lohoitzi lebna katan b'Shabbos, in order to bring it to her son on Shabbos so he can eat. Tiboye leman lama, we're going to have later on when there's a fire, and how to make certain kinds of tricks to circumnavigate the problems of carrying it to another chatzah sheni borevis. And you're allowed to wear a whole bunch of clothes and so on. Even though normally you don't necessarily wear 10 raincoats, but you're allowed to wear it if it's a derech levusha and bring it out. So we're going to ask the question, not everyone agrees there. So we're going to ask the question, the one holds marimin, that you're allowed to make a trick over there. like Aneas says, he can wear no matter how many, 10 shirts, whatever it is. And Yeshi says he can wear a total of 18 garments, which is what you wear during the week. In other words, you can't really do more than that, but it can be excessive. So the Tiboy Mada Marim Lameir says you can do tricks then, and but lick by fire, and say as follows. Hossam over there, the reason why we allow you to maybe is because the Eloi showed us that we won't allow him. He's scared to ruin all his clothes. Don't give him a way out to save his clothing. He'll go ahead and extinguish the fire. But if you tell the woman, look, you're not allowed to carry the nut outside and make a trick, she won't. So maybe there's nothing pressing here to allow her to make these circumvent the law. Oidim, or perhaps, even when I said you're not allowed to buy fire, it's common sometimes they walk around with a lot of clothes, for example, a meicher, everything else that you're allowed to, and therefore he says, we don't want you to make tricks, who knows what you'll do. Over here, ain't derech etzobekach. Over here, it's not the derech etzobekach. And therefore, ain't meshapadam. She'll be conscious of what she's doing and she won't do any wrong. Teiku. Most of Shreem have the gist all the way around. That over there, it's over here, it's derech etzobekach, and over there, it's not derech etzobekach. Anyway, the bottom line is that we remember the suffix, whether you're allowed to make a trick to carry something in order just to feed. There's nothing pressing here. If you're allowed to carry something to feed your child. Let's just do the next Mishnah. Hakiteya, somebody's an amputee, yoytze bekav shaloi. Even prosthetic in those days was like a wooden stump. And he's allowed to walk with his calf, but that's a shoe. A lot of wear shoes, and that's his shoe. So therefore, that's a derech levisha. Divir Rameir, says Rameir. Rabbi Yossi, ases. He says no. He says it's not considered a garment, and therefore he says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. But if, let's say, you made it in a way that it also is able to receive other things, that you dug a hole in it in a way that it can, let's say, parts of clothing that are soft or cotton or these kind of things that you wanted to do it, then you're allowed to. Then it's considered a keli and it becomes tummy. But if all it can receive, if you didn't make the hole in a way that you can receive other things, if it's just for the stump of the foot, of the let's say the leg, and you don't place any garments or anything else, it's not really called the base kibble for tumah. It's considered a pshuti kleyetz, and we need similar to a sack that has to be a clay kibble. Okay. Because you cannot like take the leg off and move the keli around with it. You know, the whole idea of a clay kibble is you put something in it and you can move that thing around, the keli around with it. Here you can't do that, obviously. So you have to have a place there to put other things that become a clay kibble. Smuchay shaloi, what about, let's say he's missing both legs. So he walks on his, he basically walks on his elbows and he walks on his knees, and they make little pads out of leather for his knees and for his thighs so that he can walk. He picks himself up and moves around. Is Tamei Midas, if it's a Zod, for example, because since your body rests on it, so therefore it's called Midas and makes Avatuma. The Yoitzin Behem Shabbos, you're allowed to walk around with these leather pads on Shabbos because that's your garments. What about the Nichnasim and Azorah? But you also allowed to walk. We learned you're not allowed to walk with shoes into Azorah. These are not called shoes because they're not on the bottom of his feet, and it's not like the prosthetic. What about Kisei? What about he can't even walk on his thighs? He can't walk on his knees, and so they make like a chair. He sits on a chair, but it's very very low, and he sits on it. And then they give him little boxes that he puts his hand on the boxes, little boxes, and that's how he picks up his body with his hands from place to place. And then every time he stops, he sits down on his back. And his chair is tied to him in the back. With smucha shalai, so his things, for that person, but he has those things to help him out. So they make also out of hide or out of wood, for the end of his thigh, or that are hanging, that are suspended in the air. So whenever he leans on his hand and he moves himself, your feet land on the ground sometimes. So they have some leather things in the bottom, but not that you give you that helps you walk anything. It's just that your leg is dangling, should have somewhere to, when it lands on the ground, to put your feet on. So tamei midas is also tamei midas, but the ain yetsim behem b'shabbos. You now walk around with them on Shabbos. Rashi brings from his teachers because you don't really need it so much. You don't need it for walking. The part, the leather part on the bottom of the thighs, it's not for walking, it's more for comfort. So they say you don't really need it that much. And therefore they say you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Rashi said the reason is scared Pasha, since it's not really on the ground, you might just take it off sometimes and walk with it without realizing it. The Ein Nichnasi Behen Nazari, you're not allowed to walk around with the things on the bottom of your feet because that's like your shoe. Luktamin, a mask that you put on to scare people, to hide in. They are toy from Kabbal Tumah, because it's not really a garment. They ain't Yates, man. You shouldn't walk around with it on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here and go to the Gemara tomorrow to explain all of this.